This is Jay Sekulow. President Obama's admonished by a court for a lack of candor. We've got an update on Egypt Air and more on Supreme Court nominees.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
So there is a major break in the crash of Flight 804 in the early hours of this Friday morning, May 20th. We are now getting our first look at the pilots who were at the controls when this plane vanished and then was determined to have crashed. And they found it about 200 miles offshore in the Mediterranean.
Finally, today, we have the first confirmation of first debris found from the plane that went down in the Mediterranean early Thursday morning.
U.S. government officials have confirmed to Fox News that a preliminary review of the infrared satellite data did not find evidence of an explosion along the flight path. This is the same data used to identify missile launches by North Korea and Iran and is designed to pick up anything unusual.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
With the judges, they were saying, well, what happens if he appoints the wrong judges? We just took a list of judges. I thought what I would do is put this forward, and this would be the list that I would either choose from or pick people very close in terms of the spirit and the meaning of what they represent.
He's put out this list of Supreme Court picks, including your ex-wife, right, Diane Sykes, who is a highly respected conservative jurist on the Federal Appeals Court. Is the resistance going to last? Is everyone going to be making the march of shame? Are you going to be back on this program in 5 months telling me, actually, Trump?
No, I cannot imagine this. And by the way, that list of judges is outstanding. There's no question about it. They would all make great justices. But the question that I think conservatives have to ask themselves, is that a promise or is that just a suggestion?
I'll have more to say about this at another point. Our teams are meeting. I think the list of the judges was a very good step in the right direction. We're making progress, but that's all I've got to say at this point.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We've got a lot to talk about on this Friday. We're going to kind of round up the week here. We're going to start with Egypt Air Flight 804. The debris has been located. It is about 170 miles off the Egyptian coast. Human remains have been found. Seats, suitcases, as well as pieces of the aircraft have been recovered about 180 miles north of Alexandria, Egypt. There is still no claim for responsibility in this unexplained downing of this aircraft. Now, they're looking at, you have to almost start now with the assumption that there could be a terrorism link to it. That has also increased focus on the fact that the plane, and we said this on the broadcast yesterday, while people were saying it was from Paris to Cairo, that's not where the aircraft originated. This origin of this particular flight plan included Eritrea and Tunisia, both of which are hotbeds for terrorism, both of which airports are very low on the security profile. In other words, they don't have high ratings from the various agencies that govern airport security. So they're looking now at those particular airports. They're obviously looking at the background on the pilots and crew. All of that has to be reviewed. But as of right now, no terror group has claimed responsibility. I will say that ISIS has been one that has always delayed their claim of responsibility. They don't usually come out right away. There are also reports that there are potential that France is under an additional and increased alerts because there's concern of potential terrorism there. We are going to turn also to the situation domestically, and that is, we'll talk more about this when we come back from the break, the United States Department of Justice admonished by a federal court judge on the issue of the president's executive action on immigration. A stunning decision coming out of the district courts. The case currently pending at the U.S. Supreme Court. But the lawyers for DOJ admonished for unethical behavior. We'll get more details of that. May not be a surprise to many of you. We're also going to take your calls, and we're going to get into the Donald Trump Supreme Court nominees and also talk about some victories we've had along the way this week. So our phone lines are open for you at 800-684-3110. I do want to ask you this question again. We got into it a little bit yesterday. How do you feel about Donald Trump's Supreme Court nomination candidates for the potential, and how does that impact how you're going to vote? 1-800-684-3110, and multiple ways to engage us on air.
That's right. You can join us right now on Facebook, Periscope, or ACLJ.org, Facebook.com/JaySekulow. We're broadcasting live video there right now. We talk during the break, so you can get your comments in that way. Same as at Periscope. Search for Jay Sekulow. We're broadcasting live there right now.
And by the way, Periscope, Philip Ogala is on Periscope from Nairobi, Kenya. And we have an office in Kenya. We'll talk about that, and we had some big victory in Kenya. We'll be back with more in a moment.
Israel is under constant deadly terrorist knife and rocket attacks. Jewish students, professors, and Christians who support Israel face vicious discrimination at U.S. universities, all in an attempt to delegitimize the state of Israel. Israel is our ally. The Jewish people are friends. It's our duty to defend them. That's why the ACLJ is launching a massive new multinational legal campaign in defense of Israel, in the U.S., at the U.N., and with world leaders. In just a few weeks, we're co-sponsoring the largest global conference to fight these attempts to delegitimize Israel. But we need these global leaders to hear from you now. Add your name to our new petition, a petition to defend Israel from anti-Israel attacks across the globe. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
All right, we've got a lot of calls coming in on the judges' issues, calls coming in on the terrorism issue. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let me tell you a couple little quick things here. We had a nice little victory. You know, we don't get to talk about these much as we'd like to, but we need to talk about a couple of big ones. The U.S. House of Representatives unanimously passed a major international religious freedom bill, and then in that bill, we had a specific request that the ambassador of religious freedom, who we worked with, even under the Obama administration, with great success on Saeed Abedini's case, on the Sudan situation. He's a friend of ours, Rabbi David Saperstein. We asked for a more direct line of report, so to speak. Let's talk about that. Nice win coming out on that.
Yeah, a couple of them in that bill, actually, Jay, and it goes all the way back to some testimony you gave in front of the United States Senate all the way back in March of 2015. We made two specific asks. Yep. The one that you just pointed out, that the ambassador for religious freedom respond directly to the Secretary of State. And the reason for that, Jay, is because when we have asked that ambassador to engage in the past, it has got tied up in the bureaucracy. They did not have direct access to the secretary. That would change under an amendment that was passed in the House yesterday. And the second one, Jay, you asked for non-state actors, violators of religious freedom overseas, people like ISIS and also individuals, to be eligible for penalties under this law. That was also included. These are two big wins yesterday in this bill.
Yeah, so we won in the House. Then go next to the Senate?
It goes next to the Senate, but it passed unanimously. I mean, there's big bipartisan support on this. I think we can get it through the Senate as well.
Folks, the importance of this is getting the designation of these non-state actors as those that engage in terrorist activity, but also engaged in violations of international norms on religious liberty and religious freedom and the international conventions on civil and political rights, is huge. And we asked that. You joined with us in a petition. I went and testified before Congress, and the end result is we got it. So a nice victory there, and that two victories there. And then I'll take you all the way down to a small town in Bleckley County, Georgia, where they contacted the ACLJ. They have an annual Bible reading marathon that they do there. The American Humanist Association responded that they were going to file a lawsuit. We worked with the lawyers for the county and were successful. And guess what? That Bible reading marathon went on. Those don't sound like a big win, but let me tell you, for the folks in Bleckley County, that is a big win, and the citizens of Cochrane and Bleckley County are very happy with that. And we've got some family roots. Pam does. My wife does in South Georgia, so that's always a good thing. All right, we're going to take your calls on judges. We're going to take your call on this admonishment from Judge Hannon, issued a stinging order against the Department of Justice lawyers who lied, basically, in court filings and hearings concerning the implementation of President Obama's lawless executive action. That's the one we've challenged and challenged successfully. Judge Hannon detailed a myriad of legal professional conduct rules that were violated. He said such conduct is certainly not worthy of any department who names includes the word justice. He says now that DOJ has now admitted making statements that clearly did not match the facts. It has been admitted by these lawyers that these statements had, they had the knowledge of the truth, but they made the misstatements. To this end, this court takes no joy nor satisfaction in issuance of the order, but is disappointed that it has to address the subject of lawyer behavior. This is Department of Justice lawyers on this executive action on immigration. And then he goes on to say that the misconduct in this case was intentional, serious, and material. In fact, it's hard to imagine a more serious, more calculated plan of unethical conduct. From our United States Department of Justice, or as I like to say, from President Obama's Department of Justice. So there you have it. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to 4, Logan, because I think it's on this issue here.
All right, Thomas is calling from Phoenix, Arizona, watching on Periscope. Thomas.
Hey, Thomas.
Welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, you're on the air.
Thomas, you there? Probably watching on Periscope. Let's put him on hold, try to get back to Thomas here in a second. Someone check that line. Do you want to take another call?
Sure.
All right, let's go to Robert in Maryland.
Hey, Robert.
Yeah, hi. Jordan, and hi, Jay. I wanted to ask you if you could, Jay or Jordan, if you could tell me anything about the backgrounds of the justices that presumptive nominee Donald Trump is suggesting or saying that he's going to nominate if he's elected president for the Supreme Court.
Sure. I was on Hannity last night, and look, every single one of these potential nominees, they're not nominees yet. Obviously, Donald Trump's not the president, but these potential nominees, there's not one on there that you would not want to see at the Supreme Court of the United States, replacing Justice Scalia's seat. They are all pretty much in that mold of Scalia's judicial philosophy. By the way, several of them clerk for Justice Scalia, Justice Thomas, Chief Justice Rehnquist. Others are state Supreme Court justices with long track records. Many of them are friends of ours and have been friends of ours for a long time. So I think this is, Robert, a really significant win. And if this, in fact, becomes the nominees like this to the Supreme Court, there's not one on there that you would not be happy to have on the Supreme Court of the United States. So we're pleased with it. We think it's a good – the interesting thing is, folks, and this is the question we're asking you, how does this impact how you view Donald Trump's candidacy? We'll take your calls on that at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. And then I take it the response still in Washington, I know, has been very strong, very positive.
It's been overwhelming. This list is an outstanding one. I actually had several phone calls this morning, Jay, with members of the United States Senate, their staff, and they sort of fell in two camps. The one camp that supported Donald Trump before this, and they think the list is outstanding. But even the list who has questions about Donald Trump, they view this as an overwhelmingly positive thing, because if the nominee is from this list, they are going to be excited about that nominee. And if the nominee is not from this list, this is a reason to reject that nominee. So on both sides of the Donald Trump camp, so to speak, all parties are viewing this as an outstanding place to be. And when it comes to the issue of the Supreme Court, we're in a better place today because of this list than we were 2 days ago before we had it.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. We want to know how this, how you deal with this issue, how does it affect the way you think politically in these candidates that are running for president. We heard from Bernie Sanders supporters in the last couple of days. We want to hear from Hillary Clinton supporters. Bill, obviously Donald Trump is the presumptive nominee of the Republican side. I still think Hillary is, but there are Bernie's people are certainly fighting. So we'll take your calls on all this. We'll talk about the Egypt situation as well. 1-800-684-3110. And I'll be talking more about this admonition from Judge Heenan to the Department of Justice. Pretty breathtaking in scope.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go back to Thomas at Periscope. Thomas, you there?
Yes, I'm back here.
Hi, right, you're on the air.
Hey, yeah, thanks for everything you do. Real quick, I know the word admonishment meant, but on the legal terms, what exactly does that mean as far as what happens to the state or to Obama or in that
situation? So when a lawyer is admonished, which means disciplined, here's what the judge has said in the order. The judge has said that he wants annual ethics trainings for these individuals. Let me read you some of this. I mean, this is pretty powerful stuff. The misconduct in this case was intentional, serious, and material. In fact, it is hard to imagine a more serious, more calculated plan of unethical conduct. They lied about the scope of what was being implemented with the DACA program, which was this deferred action program. They lied as to when it was being implied, how many people were being, how it was being implemented, how it was going to be applied. And they knew when they made those statements that it was not true. So what the court did was order that these lawyers go through ethics training annually for a period of time. They could have bar issues too, by the way. And Judge Haynen detailed a myriad, I mean, a series of legal professional conduct rules and statutes and laws that DOJ lawyers violated. I mean, if you look, they could be in serious bar trouble over this. And this is the same case that is now at the Supreme Court of the United States on the immigration issue. In fact, I'm in Washington Monday doing a presentation on this case to a big event that's co-sponsored by the Library of Congress, the ABA. I know Justice Ginsburg is going to be there. Justice Breyer is going to be there. So this is a huge issue. Obviously, we're waiting for the Supreme Court's decision. But you can imagine the ramifications when you got the Department of Justice lawyers not telling the truth, which is precisely what has happened here.
That's right. Let's. We don't think we have time for calls here. Still, we only have 2 minutes. You want to take a call? You want to?
Yeah, I can take a quick call.
All right, quick call. Lines are completely full right now. Mark in El Paso.
Hey, Mark.
Hi, Jay. I'm for Trump and his choices. He's a good judge of character. He's been consistent as far as a successful businessman.
Yep.
And he also has a good rule of the golden rule. So
Let me ask you this, Mark. Because we had some callers yesterday that were now pro-Trump, but they initially weren't. Were you initially a Trump supporter?
Yes.
So this just re-emphasized to you that you made the right choice in your view?
Yes.
Okay. So because yesterday we had a number of people that called. I do want to hear from folks that said, hey, I was for Cruz. I was for Carson. I was for Rick Perry. I was for somebody else. But this judicial selection has really solidified it for me. Others may be saying the opposite. I don't know. We want to hear. That's why we want to talk. 1-800-684-3110. Let me say this. We have a petition that is up right now to defend Israel from anti-Israel attacks and these BDS, boycott, divest, and sanction. Next week, I'm in Washington, D.C. The next week, I'm in New York City at the UN on this BDS matter. I want to get to 100,000 signatures. We're almost at 70,000 with phone calls. So we encourage you right now to go to ACLJ.org and sign that petition. You can actually go to the UN with me because I'm going to take these and give them to the Israeli ambassador. I'm going to give them to the UN ambassador saying, look, there are hundreds of thousands of people from all over the world. I know we got people, Logan, from Kenya today.
Kenya and Israel. And always throughout the world, we get people logged
so
on Facebook.
So all of you signing onto this, clicking onto this petition, if you're from Kenya, if you're from listening to us in Germany, I know we've had many people from Germany and Australia, and also as we said today, from Kenya, sign this petition. This will really help our defense of Israel. So again, ACLJ.org is the best place for that. You could also support the work of the ACLJ there as well. Again, ACLJ.org. You can call our toll-free number, too, at 877-989-2255. But the easiest way is ACLJ.org. And Logan, everybody needs to be getting our Facebooks and like our pages.
Yeah, make sure to like our page, Facebook.com/JaySekulow. You can also find the ACLJ as a page. If you're on the Jay Sekulow page, you also can subscribe. It guarantees you, typically, that you'll get a push notification when we go live each and every day at
Americans' freedom, under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. Israel is under constant deadly terrorist knife and rocket attacks. Jewish students, professors, and Christians who support Israel face vicious discrimination at U.S. universities, all in an attempt to delegitimize the state of Israel. Israel is our ally. The Jewish people are friends. It's our duty to defend them. That's why the ACLJ is launching a massive new multinational legal campaign in defense of Israel, in the U.S., at the U.N., and with world leaders. In just a few weeks, we're co-sponsoring the largest global conference to fight these attempts to delegitimize Israel. But we need these global leaders to hear from you now. Add your name to our new petition, a petition to defend Israel from anti-Israel attacks across the globe. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
we talked about this Department of Justice, this admonition from Judge Hainan, who's the district court judge that ruled in our favor on the Obamacare overreach on executive action, and also, by the way, the Fifth Circuit did as well. But he laid out a challenge to the Department of Justice here. And it says that at a minimum, this is what he wants, a minimum of 3 hours of ethics training per year for these Department of Justice lawyers. This is the government's lawyers lying to a court on an issue as significant as immigration. Kind of like saying we were negotiating with Rouhani, the more moderate regime in Iran, but actually we're really talking to Ahmadinejad. So none of this is a great shock for us. But we are obviously working on this, and since we are at the Supreme Court of the United States, and as I said, I'll be making a big presentation on that case in Washington on Monday. All right, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. We've got a call coming in from Sherry Logan. Let's take this on the situation with the Egypt Air.
Yep, Sherry in Florida. You're on the air.
Hey, Sherry.
Hi. Listen, I'm a supporter of yours, and I've signed all your petitions.
Great.
It's real easy to do, and I'd like to tell everybody, get out there and do it. It's easy, and it helps. Okay, what I'm calling about is, doesn't it make sense, and it makes sense to me, but doesn't it make sense that this would have been a struggle within the cockpit because there was no other communication after that? If there was any way to commute, if something was going wrong, one of them would have communicated somehow back to the tower.
Well, I've talked to some aviation folks, and the theory, I mean, could have there been a cockpit struggle? We'll know that if we find the black box. The thing that's unusual here was it does not appear right now that this plane blew up at one time in the air. Is that kind of the latest indications are it went into this kind of spiraled control where it looked like the pilot may have been trying to regain some kind of control of the aircraft. I think you have to start with the assumption. We don't have the luxury of not doing this. You've got to start with the assumption that this was an act of terror. But you cannot rule out that there could have been a mechanical situation as well.
And I think they said there was some technical issues with the plane the week before, but that happens all the time.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the mechanical issues of the plane don't cause explosions on the plane. So I think that's something you have to look into. It's certainly not looking good when you look at the fact that it just went from, it didn't nosedive crash.
Nope.
It exploded, turned, and then plummeted.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's not necessarily something. There's a reason airport security is high right now. These things are happening because everyone's on high alert.
Let me tell you where the airport security is not high. It's not high where this airplane went before it went to Paris. It was in Eritrea, a hotbed for terrorist cell groups, ISIS and others, Boko Haram. And also, it went to Tunisia, which is another area that has got very serious security lapses and a lot of terror. Now, what is the kind of sense of this than in Washington right now as this is, you know, everybody's being cautious on what to call it because we just don't know yet. Although I think you got to start with terrorism as the start.
The chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee, Michael McCaul, essentially said what you just did. Listen, he said it's too early to conclude. We said that on yesterday's broadcast. But he said what he wants to make sure this government starts doing is first asking the terrorism question. Because in a case like this, the data tells us that that is the most likely outcome. Now, it's not going to be the outcome in every single instance, but it is going to be in a lot of them. And this administration has now spent 7 years making that the very last thing they look into, and then sometimes still denying to claim that it was terrorism in those cases. What he wants the government to do is start asking that question first, because those people may still be out there or others working with them. There may be other attacks out there.
Yeah. All right. We're taking your phone calls. Let me actually play. We do have it. Here's the sound from Congressman McCaul, who was speaking to the press about this just today.
Entered into a new phase of this conflict against Islamist terror. And in many ways, the tide has turned against us. Nearly 15 years after 9/11, our enemies have regained their momentum and are opening up new fronts well beyond the foreign battlefields in which they were once confined.
So there you have it. I mean, I think this is the new paradigm. You start with the thought that this is actually terror. And that's how you have to review this. And that's exactly how our team's reviewing it as well. All right, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Logan's with me today. So is Stan Bennett. Let's go right back to the phones.
All right. Yes, continuing on. You can also get your comments in on Facebook. Let's go ahead and go to Liz, who's calling from Rome, New York.
Hey, Liz.
Hi, Jay. I'm wondering, for the lawyers involved with the DOJ, what does this mean for them personally and professionally? Will they be taken seriously? Could they be kind of blacklisted?
I think this is a mark on your career. To be admonished by a federal court judge on a case you're actively litigating, where the judge says, again, the misconduct in this case was intentional, serious and material. This was the immigration reform executive order of President Obama's. And he says that it was, again, you know, serious, intentional, material. In fact, it's hard to imagine a more serious, more calculated plan of unethical conduct because they told a complete fabrication to the court, both in pleadings and in the court proceedings. And this is on an issue as significant as immigration reform. So here's the question. What should happen to these lawyers? Their career with the Department of Justice should be over. Will the Obama administration do that? I don't know. But that's what should happen. This judge is angry. There could be state bar involvement. He called it egregious conduct. I mean, you could not use stronger language. He actually also said that he has a separate sealed order that is simultaneously being issued that will be, I'm sure, have more of the rebuke in it. The court does not have the power to disbar counsel in this case, is what the judge says, but it does have the power to revoke the pro hoc vice status of out-of-state lawyers who act in unethical conduct. So here's what I think is going to happen. This is a really good question. This judge is saying, I can't disbar you, DOJ, Department of Justice lawyers. I can't disbar you for this. But what I can do is withdraw your pro hoc vice, that is your ability to practice in a court where you're not a member. These lawyers are not a member of that court. I am issuing a separate sealed order regarding what is being done with regard to that. So I suspect we will find that out soon as well. Very serious. But what we need to take away, folks, is that the United States Department of Justice lied. That's what we have to be concerned about. We're going to go right back to the phones. Let's take line four.
All right. Vito's calling from Joplin, Missouri. You're on the air.
Hi, Vito.
Yes. Hi, Jay. I just want to give kudos, bravo. I want to just thank the Lord for the recent victories you guys have had.
Thanks.
You guys are fantastic. And I just want to encourage everybody out there to prayerfully support you and, more importantly, monetarily.
Well, I appreciate that.
I want to say one other thing, Jay, is that I was a Cruz supporter, and I am so excited about the fact of what Donald Trump is doing. I just hope and pray that he follows through.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of that sentiment out there. Than, again, to recap before we go on a break really quickly here, and then Logan's going to let us know the multiple ways you can get the broadcast. Let's tell everybody these two wins. We had the Bible win in Georgia, but the two big wins in Congress.
Well, we've achieved a win where the religious freedom ambassador now will answer directly to the Secretary of State once this bill gets all the way through to enactment. That's a big win. The second one is that non-state actors of religious persecution can now be prosecuted under this law. And just quickly also, Jay, we also had the win where safe harbors for refugees in region, that was also approved by the House this week. That's a policy that we put out many, many months ago. All three of those victories this week in the House of Representatives.
So three big wins in Washington, D.C. We testified on those measures and we got results because you stood with us. All right, there is another 30 minutes of this broadcast. A lot of you are getting the full hour now, but Logan's going to tell you multiple ways anybody can get this broadcast.
That's right. If you don't get the full hour, you can join us on Facebook, Periscope, ACLJ.org, or later on, archives. First, Facebook.com/JaySekulow. Live stream video there where we talk during the breaks and during the show, you get your comments in. We got a lot of great comments today. We'll get to those in the second half. Periscope, same thing. Search for Jay Sekulow. ACLJ.org for a television-style broadcast of the show. Later on, you can watch that archived if you have Apple TV or Roku devices. Just download the ACLJ app to one of those. You can also get the ACLJ app for your iOS device, your phone, or the Jay Sekulow Live podcast each and every day delivered straight.
So many platforms.
Yep.
A lot of ways you can get to us. And folks, don't forget to sign that petition for Israel, ACLJ.org. Back with more in just a moment.
Israel is under constant deadly terrorist knife and rocket attacks. Israel is our ally. The Jewish people are friends. It's our duty to defend them. In just a few weeks, we're co-sponsoring the largest global conference to fight these attempts to delegitimize Israel. Add your name to our new petition. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
to the broadcast, everyone. We got a lot of issues to talk about. One is, of course, we'll keep following the situation with the Egypt Air plane crash, which has to start with the presumption that it is terror, although you should not ignore mechanical issues as well, but start with the presumption it's terror. That paradigm seemed to have shifted, and that's a good thing. That's where everybody's looking at it. We also have a stunning order from a U.S. District Court judge in Texas. The case involved the president's executive action, or in our view, executive action and overreach, and by the way, in the view of the court as well, where the president changed this immigration status and made lawful status for people that had not had lawful status. It wasn't just the refusal to prosecute or a prosecutorial discretion move. They actually conveyed upon them a legal status. We think that was unconstitutional. So did the district court. So did the Fifth Circuit. But the district court judge issued a stinging order calling the lawyers for President Obama dishonest. He said that the conduct in the case, the misconduct, was intentional, serious, and material. In fact, it is hard to imagine a more serious, more calculated plan of unethical conduct. That's from the lawyers. That's aimed at the lawyers who are litigating this for President Obama at the Department of Justice. That should not give any of us solace about the integrity of the Department of Justice when they do that. And I've trained prosecutors, by the way, for DOJ. I was a faculty member of the Office of Legal Education for the Department of Justice, and I was a Treasury lawyer for the IRS. That was not what I saw when I was there. But apparently the new regime is running it differently. So we're taking your calls on all of this, including the Supreme Court nominees of Donald Trump. We'll take those calls at 1-800-684-3110. And we've got comments coming in on Facebook and Periscope as well.
That's right. A lot of people chiming in there saying Facebook is doing just fine. Most of us. That's good. This is a question that came in. A lot of people are asking, you brought it up during the break. Right. Let's ask it again, though. Have they been disbarred? Why have they not been disbarred?
All right. So, again, this is the immigration case. The federal court judge does not have the authority to disbar a lawyer. To disbar a lawyer, that requires the state bar to initiate proceedings. Now, based on these orders, the state bar should do that. But this judge may well revoke their ability to practice in his court. That the judge can do. But this was lying as to the scope, nature, and implementation of this program to a federal court judge by the Obama administration lawyers. We should be outraged at this. We are. I am. And so is this Judge Heenan. Hannon, there you have it. So that's the way that lines up. But again, the judge can't order a disbarment. That's the state bar.
They have a lot of comments coming in. Joel just said you were great on Hannity last night.
So thanks. By the way, we're doing a special on the judges issue. It was going to air originally tonight, but because of the breaking news on the Egypt Air, it's going to air next week. But thanks for watching on Hannity.
And there are a good bit of people that are chiming in saying that they are now supporting Donald Trump due to the selections.
Of the Supreme Court. Yeah. So, Than, how significant, you're watching it in Washington, what's it doing congressionally to those that were, I think it's pretty much ended the Never Trump movement. But where do you see this?
Yeah. Well, I said yesterday I thought it was the single most important thing that Donald Trump could do to win over undecided voters. It's probably also the single most important thing he could do for leaders. You look at the House GOP, for instance. There is now only one member of the GOP who has not formally endorsed Donald Trump when it comes to the leadership. That's, of course, Paul Ryan. And by the way, I think he's getting pretty close as well. But yesterday he picked up a very important one, Kathy McMorris Rodgers. She had been very critical for him, both because of women and some of his comments on the disabled issues that she works on. She now has endorsed him. I think this was a unifying moment for Donald Trump. All over the Hill, people, whether they liked him or not in the beginning, are starting to fall in line behind him.
Well, Politico, Will just sent this to me. Politico has declared in a headline, the Never Trump movement is dead. Mitt Romney said he is not looking for a third party candidate to come in. I think this was a very smart political move. Again, can anybody guarantee anything on Supreme Court nominees? Let me tell you, I've been doing this for 35 years. Here's the answer, no. But the nominees listed are very good. Very, very good. By the way, Fox News is also covering right now the sharp rebuke for the Justice Department lawyers. This is a big deal. It did not get much attention yesterday. We are giving it attention. Our friends at Fox are. This is pretty serious. All right, we come back. We're going to take your calls. Logan, a lot of way for people to talk. Phone lines are jammed right now.
They're jammed right now. Facebook, though, a lot of comments coming in. Someone said they've been supporting you since the 90s.
There you go. Early on. We started in 1987, so that means they were there almost from the beginning. ACLJ started in the early 90s, so yes. Great.
There you go.
All right. All right, folks, we'll take more of your calls when we come back at ACL at 1-800-684-3110. But don't forget, sign our petition to defend Israel. Almost at 68,000, probably 70,000 with signatures. ACLJ.org. We're going to be in front of the UN on that in just about a week. ACLJ.org. And we do have a phone line open, 1-800-684-3110.
Israel is under constant deadly terrorist knife and rocket attacks. Jewish students, professors, and Christians who support Israel face vicious discrimination at U.S. universities, all in an attempt to delegitimize the state of Israel. Israel is our ally. The Jewish people are friends. It's our duty to defend them. That's why the ACLJ is launching a massive new multinational legal campaign in defense of Israel, in the U.S., at the U.N., and with world leaders. In just a few weeks, we're co-sponsoring the largest global conference to fight these attempts to delegitimize Israel. But we need these global leaders to hear from you now. Add your name to our new petition, a petition to defend Israel from anti-Israel attacks across the globe. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Of Justice certainly is fooling themselves, but they are about to get, they got hammered by this judge, and they should have. It was interesting when a federal court judge says the court does not have the power to disbar the counsel in this case, but it does have the power to revoke the pro hac vice status of out-of-state lawyers who actually act in an unethical way in the court, and that's what they've done. So there you have it. Pretty great this judge took this stand, and pretty awful for the Department of Justice. Why don't we take Randy's call?
All right, Randy's calling in Omaha. You're on the air.
Hi, Randy.
Hold on, Randy.
I've been wanting to ask, could you explain the genesis of executive orders, how that even came into being?
Sure. So a president of the United States has the authority to issue an executive order when there's an underlying statute which puts into action a particular law. And the executive action is supposed to basically, at that point, put into place that law. The president's supposed to faithfully execute the laws that are passed, so an executive order, executive action, can help implement the laws. But what you have to have is an underlying statutory base. In this particular case involving immigration reform, the government came in and said they issued an executive order. The president basically gave lawful status to 4.5 million people. Congress said you can't do it. The president said, well, this is just, all this is prosecutorial discretion. We're just not going to prosecute these individuals. That's not true, because they gave an affirmative status in addition to the non-prosecution. And that affirmative status gave benefits which cost the states like Texas a lot of money. So that's why it's in there. The lawyers for the Department of Justice lied to the federal court judge, saying what was being implemented when, who it was being implemented on, and what the numbers involved would be. All false information, and they knew it was false when they gave it. So these lawyers for the Department of Justice are in really big trouble. And Fan, I take it that this is going to have repercussions for the president going forward too, because this is his Department of Justice.
And remember, and in addition to all of the things that you laid out, the court specifically said that he thought the 26 states filing suit here had a good likelihood of success, and so that order needed to be stayed, not move forward. The department moved another 100,000 people through that program. And just to go back to something else you said, there are 26 states involved in this, Jay.
Right.
So if the state bar associations are the ones that can go after these lawyers, how many states do you think are going to be filing for the disbarment of these lawyers? I bet you more than a few.
Anywhere that they're a member of a bar. I'm multiple jurisdiction. Right. I'm the member of multiple bars. I'm sure many of these lawyers are too. And all those state bars have jurisdiction over. All right, we're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. We also got comments coming in as well.
Yep, let's go to Steve in L.A. You're on the air.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah, as far as Donald Trump's nominations, I think they're great. They cemented my reason for voting for him. also.
Were you initially, Steve, were you initially for him or were you for somebody else initially?
I think it's still way out of line. I mean.
Well, no. Steve, let me ask you a question here, Steve. Yeah, it said you cemented your support for Donald Trump because of these Supreme Court nominations, at least the list he gave. Were you a Trump supporter before?
Yes, I was, but it cemented my feelings for him now.
Okay, all right. That's very interesting because Hillary Clinton has a very different view of Donald Trump, both as it relates to his comments, I'm sure, about the Supreme Court, and as it relates to the Egyptian Air matter. Here's what Hillary Clinton had to say.
I know how hard this job is, and I know that we need steadiness as well as strength and smarts in it. And I have concluded he is not qualified to be president of the United States.
Breaking news alert. Hillary Clinton has determined, she has concluded that Donald Trump is not qualified to be president of the United States. I want our team to find the statement where Bernie Sanders says Hillary Clinton is not qualified to be president of the United States so we can be fair. How about that? Should we be fair? I think we should be fair. We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. We're taking comments as well that are coming in. If you want to talk to us, 1-800-684-3110.
Yep, a lot of comments coming in, a lot about all the issues.
Yep.
Someone asked, what are the judges? Can we go through some of the judges? Any thoughts?
Sure. Well, let me tell you this. We can put the list up there. Let me tell you a little bit about some of them. I can't give you the list on all of these judges right this minute because it'll take the rest of the program. But you look at some of these folks like Bill Pryor, Don Willett, Diane Sykes, there are three there that Mike Lee's brother, Judge Lee, Justice Lee. I know them. I work with them. I worked on their confirmations. Don Willett, I worked on his, helped him on his campaign for the Texas Supreme Court. Bill Pryor, we got helped get confirmed. Diane Sykes helped get confirmed under George Bush. Justice Lee is Rex Lee's son, one of the most famous Supreme Court advocates. He was a Solicitor General of the United States. There's not a judge up there that you would not be pleased with to be on the Supreme Court of the United States. So that list for Donald Trump was an A+, in my view. And that's my view of it. It was an A+.
Yeah, this person came in from Penelope about the vice presidential selection right now. So yep. What part do you think Ben Carson is playing right now?
So, Van, what I'm hearing is that Ben's leading is the chair of that committee, but that they are going to not probably make that announcement until the convention. I suspect, and this is a complete guess by me, by the way, okay? I don't know. I think this is going to – I originally was thinking it would be a governor, and Than may still think it isn't. And there's, I think, a rationale for that. But I think he may swing for the bleachers here. And rather than going with a governor so maybe I can win Ohio or maybe I can then win Florida, he may swing for the bleachers, and it may be someone like Newt Gingrich. But, I mean, there's a lot of chatter on this. What's the chatter in Washington?
That would be typical Donald Trump, wouldn't it be? So I certainly wouldn't rule that out. If I were going to put my money on one name, it would still be Governor Kasich because of the importance of Ohio. But I would point out one thing. You said Ben Carson. You remember who chaired the vice presidential search for George W. Bush?
Dick Cheney.
It was Dick Cheney. So, just because he's chairing the committee doesn't mean he's not in consideration. You never know.
Although Donald Trump said he wanted some with political experience, but it's also a chemistry issue here, so we'll see. The question is the party now aligning behind him? That's where we're talking about that. Folks, we're also – Senator Sanders doesn't speak well of the qualifications of Hillary Clinton. This is from just about a month and a half ago. Senator Sanders on Senator Clinton.
This campaign will fight back. So when you have headlines in the Washington Post, quote, Clinton questions whether Sanders is qualified to be president. My response is, if you want to question my qualifications, let me suggest this, that maybe the American people might wonder about your qualifications, Madam Secretary, when you voted for the war in Iraq, the most disastrous foreign policy blunder in the modern history of America.
So the remaining three candidates are all saying each other's not qualified to be president. That should not be a news alert. That's reality. All right, taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Logan, who do we have next?
Yep, let's go to Jennifer in Orlando, Florida.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm swinging off the court issue a little bit.
Sure.
I'm waiting for the debates. I'm wondering why no candidate has mentioned Israel's safety since the whole world hinges on them. We owe them, and our safety depends on that. And also the 700 Club, for everyone's information, did a long story about King Abdullah of Jordan.
Yeah, Chris, our friend Chris Mitchell did that.
Which borders most of Israel, and he needs hardware. And nobody's
He does. And King Abdullah, who's been you've got a very unusual alliance right now in the Middle East where the main allies in the region, used to be the United States was right there. It's not. You've got an alliance between Egypt, Jordan, Israel, and Saudi Arabia. Who would have ever thought that's the case? It did come up in the Republican and Democratic debates when they were having, when the candidates were in there. It has not been an issue that's been front and center recently. I suspect that the issue of Israel will be front and center during the political campaign as that heats up. I don't expect to see any more debates. There's a call for a debate between Sanders and Clinton. I don't think Secretary of State Sanders, if I was advising her, I'd probably tell her not to do it too. I don't think she's going to do it, except it would put her in front of a lot of people. But the fact is, I think, Than, that the Israel issue will come up. It will play a major role in the debates when we have the Republican nominee, which we know now is presumptively Donald Trump, and presumptively Hillary Clinton. That issue will be put out there. And they have two different views on how to engage the Middle East.
Well, it certainly needs to come up, Jay, because one of the areas that we need a dramatic shift from this administration is on the issue of Israel. And quite frankly, our engagement in international bodies, especially the United Nations, which is why we are going to be there next year. I actually think, politically speaking, this is just a political analysis, but I think it would behoove Donald Trump to bring this up now, because remember, Hillary Clinton is very tied to this administration's Israel policy, and that's not very popular on either side of the aisle right now.
No, it's been an absolute positive disaster, is the truth on that policy. All right, we've got the rapid-fire round coming up.
All right, yep, if you want to get on the phone right now, we have two lines that are taken. That means four lines are open right now since we just took some calls. 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110. If you get into the next few minutes here, we're taking a break here in a minute. If you get into the next minute or two, we'll make sure we get you on the air in the next segment.
Yeah, in that segment, by the way, you can ask us anything. And 1-800-684-3110 is the number for that. It is our rapid-fire round. If you get through with a question, I'm going to send you a signed copy of Undemocratic. So 1-800-684-3110. We encourage you to do that. Also, don't forget, we've got the Defend Israel petition. Want to get it over 100,000? ACLJ.org for that. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Again, our phone lines are open for you. This is the rapid fire round. Anything goes. You're not going to want to miss it. We always enjoy this round. 1-800-684-3110. 3110. We'll take your calls. It could be on Donald Trump. It could be on Hillary Clinton. It could be on anything. 800-684-3110. And again, folks, multiple ways for you to engage with us. Logan's going to go through those quickly.
That's right. You can join us each and every day on Facebook, Periscope, or ACLJ.org. But we have multiple new ways you can do it, whether it's the ACLJ app on iPhones, on Roku, or on Apple TV. You can obviously get the show on iTunes through podcast.
Back with more, including your questions, in just a moment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. Israel is under constant deadly terrorist knife and rocket attacks. Jewish students, professors, and Christians who support Israel face vicious discrimination at U.S. universities, all in an attempt to delegitimize the state of Israel. Israel is our ally. The Jewish people are friends. It's our duty to defend them. That's why the ACLJ is launching a massive new multinational legal campaign in defense of Israel, in the U.S., at the U.N., and with world leaders. In just a few weeks, we're co-sponsoring the largest global conference to fight these attempts to delegitimize Israel. But we need these global leaders to hear from you now. Add your name to our new petition, a petition to defend Israel from anti-Israel attacks across the globe. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. This is, we put the load right on us. It comes off of you. It's called The Weight. That's the Jay Sekulow Band version of it. That's the signals that we're doing a rapid fire round. Let's start with a interesting phone call from Jim on line five, Logan. I think this is really interesting.
Parker, Colorado, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim.
Yes. My question is, if Hillary Clinton is the Democratic nominee, and if she picks Bill Clinton to be her vice presidential running mate,
yeah.
A, can she do that? B, if she can, and he's elected, can he serve as vice president?
So this is an interesting question. Gene Volokh, who is a friend of ours and has a great legal blog on the Volokh conspiracy, said that last week there was some talk of whether Hillary Clinton could pick Bill Clinton as her vice presidential candidate. The question is not new, but it's also not clear. And the constitutional provisions that are involved, one's called the ineligible clause, and that is no person constitutionally ineligible to the office of president shall be eligible to that of vice president of the United States. If you serve two terms as president, Bill Clinton did, he is disqualified from being president again. That does not necessarily mean he could not serve as vice president. That's where the gray area is. But if something were to happen to his wife, he would not be able to ascend to the presidency.
It would skip to the Speaker of the House.
So the question, Jim, is it's not been tested. No one knows for sure, and that's why it's an interesting question, and Gene Volokh's got a great piece up on it. All right, rapid fire, we go.
Probably highly unlikely, though.
Yeah, I think, you know, Than, she made the statement about Bill Clinton running the economy, and that got some real pushback.
Yeah, I don't think it's likely for the reason you laid out. It would put Paul Ryan as Speaker in the House probably next in line to her to be president. I don't think she's willing to risk that. Now, the other thing that people are asking, could Barack Obama go to the Supreme Court? I also don't think that's likely, but usually those two conspiracy theories go
it's
together.
Happened. Well, no, and it's not a conspiracy theory. There's been President Taft, Supreme Court Justice Taft, same Taft, and he enjoyed the Supreme Court more, so it can happen. Right. That's not outside the realm of possibility.
I don't know if he'll take it.
I don't think he'd take it. I think he'd rather be the head of the UN.
All right, let's go to Cindy.
Change some rules for him to be it. Go ahead.
Let's go to Cindy in Effingham, Illinois.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for taking my call on. I just wanted to say that those lawyers need to get a lot more than just an admonishment from the judges. I mean, they need to have their license jerked. They need to be in prison. You know, that's a very serious charge.
Well, Cindy, here's for people that just catching us late. So the Department of Justice lawyers that were handling the immigration case that's now at the Supreme Court, when they were at the district court, they misrepresented, told falsehoods, told lies to the district court judge. He issued a stinging rebuke that said the misconduct in this case was intentional, serious, and material. In fact, it is hard to imagine a more serious, more calculated plan of unethical conduct. He cannot disbar them, Cindy. That is the state bars that do that. What he can do is revoke their ability to practice before his court. There's been a private order signed on that. He may have done that. Also in that regard, the state bars can look into it. But this is the United States Department of Justice lying on a case that is now at the Supreme Court of the United States. This is unprecedented in scope, what has happened here.
All right, let's continue on. Let's go to Kathy on line two.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, thanks for taking my
call.
You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I was just making a comment. I was for Ben Carson.
Okay.
And when he dropped out, I went to Ted Cruz.
Yep.
With Trump, to me, he's like a time bomb. He seems to be self-centered like Obama. It's like his way or no way. At least I'm totally against the Clintons, but at least with the Clintons, we know where they stand.
Well, do you think, though, with Hill, I mean, how important to you is the Supreme Court nominee?
That's very important
to me. I'm not endorsing or opposing candidates, and we have not seen Hillary Clinton's list. But Merrick Garland, the current nominee from President Obama, would not be on Hillary Clinton's list in her perfect world if she was president of the United States. So if you're concerned about the Supreme Court of the United States, and look, I'm not endorsing or opposing either side here. I'm just saying if the Supreme Court matters, you got to look at where they are on the Supreme Court. And I think that's a serious issue. And Than, look, you call it whatever you want, stroke of brilliance. This move has really stopped, I think, the Never Trump movement.
Oh, I think it has, too. I think it's also put pressure on Hillary Clinton to put out a list. Listen, the number one issue for voters in every presidential election is the economy, and Donald Trump is up on Hillary Clinton by quite a bit in that margin. The next two most important issues in this presidential election are undoubtedly going to be national security and the Supreme Court of the United States. And this week, Jay, Donald Trump made news in both of those categories, and Hillary Clinton was essentially silent on both of them. So
yeah.
I think he made a good progress this week.
Yeah, I think he did, too. So I think it'll be clear, stark differences between the two candidates and their style.
Yeah, there's some comments coming in. Like Susan said, I was very impressed with Trump's choices and his reasoning. Kelly came out and said Newt would be an awesome choice for VP. So a lot of people throwing out the names they'd like to see. Also, a comment came in.
Let me say one thing on the Supreme Court appointments. Right. That was not a list he created out of nowhere. There was a lot of input from a lot of lawyers all over the country, and including the Heritage Foundation. My friend John Malcolm was on Hannity last night. We were on together, who was a DOJ lawyer. I worked with him when he was at DOJ. And we've been friends for a long time, and he said the list was great. I mean, you may disagree with Donald Trump on the, who knows what you disagree with him on. Many things, maybe. But on the Supreme Court picks, if it came from there, those are the kind of nominees you'd want to see. And that's what I think the reality is. All right, we've got to do three calls, Logan, in 3 minutes.
All right, let's go ahead. Let's go to Patrice in California.
Patrice, you're on.
Hi, Jay. God bless you for your work.
Thanks.
My question is, in light of everything that's going on, this list that Donald Trump has submitted for the Supreme Court, do you think that Ted Cruz will get behind that and possibly endorse him? Because that would be huge.
Good question. I wish I would have seen Ted Cruz's name on that list, because I think he'd be an unbelievably great Supreme Court justice. I think at some point this is the rallying cry. I mean, let me quickly go to Fan. We got to really do this quick, Fan. Does this put – Ted Cruz has been silent on this. What do you think?
Well, I don't know about Ted Cruz, but I will tell you this. This is the most important issue to him. He has said it repeatedly. Yep. So whether or not he endorses Donald Trump, I think the vast majority of GOP officials will.
All right. We got a call coming in from Facebook.
All right. Let's go to Michelle in California.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Yep.
Go ahead.
I'm very happy to talk to you. Listen to you every day.
Thanks.
I'm very unclear. You said you had three wins.
In Congress.
Okay,
let me go over those on the refugee issues and also on the persecution issues. Stan, really quick.
Yeah, on the refugee issue, we have called for in-region safe zones. The House approved that this week, and then two wins on the religious freedom front. The ambassador for religious freedom will now answer directly to the Secretary of State, and non-state actors, whether it be ISIS or individuals, they will have to be held account for their persecution of Christians as well.
All right, there you go. All right, we're going to take one last call here.
Yep, Cherie's calling.
Cherie.
In L.A.
You're on.
Out of California.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey.
I wanted to say congratulations and remind everybody to sign the petition.
Thanks.
And also, all politics and news aside, that song you guys did rock.
Well, I think you said that, Cherie, I think I'm going to – do we have the full video?
It was great. That's a hard song to do.
It is.
Also.
Well, and for the drummer, it is, because there's five different measures in it.
Yes,
so,
but
I'll
drummer.
Tell you what, if
you
we have
rock.
The full
Thank
song,
you.
We're checking. If we have the full song for Facebook and Periscope, we'll go out with it, but we'll play it for everybody on Facebook and Periscope. So share it with your friends, folks, right now if we have it. We're looking on it. I think we do. Looks like we do. We hope we do. If not, we'll get it. But anyways, thanks for listening in, folks, today. ACLJ.org. Or 1-877-989-2255 to stand with us in our defense of Israel. That's going to take place a week from Tuesday at the UN. So I encourage you to do that. And here it is, the rest of that little stick song, the end of it, which is the fun part. The drums are really great. I have to say that. Not just because I was the drummer in that song. It's a hard song to play. Again, ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you. Have a great weekend.
Israel is under constant deadly terrorist knife and rocket attacks. Israel is our ally. The Jewish people are friends. It's our duty to defend them. In just a few weeks, we're co-sponsoring the largest global conference to fight these attempts to delegitimize Israel. Add your name to our new petition. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.